covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Hopefully your Monday is going well. It's brutally hot out there. What'd you do over the weekend? 946-0435. You can give me a buzz. You want to talk about anything that's going on in the world of sports? Pirates made a trade today. Minor trade. Not a huge deal. I'll get to that in a minute. Really cool story from a former Penn State athlete at the Olympics. I'll get to that in just one second. I was a couple minutes late getting here. I consider this, what I'm about to tell you, a pretty high-pressure job. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. So, I'm coming down 764, 6th Avenue in Altoona, but 764. So, I'm around the Knickerbocker, give or take, somewhere around there. And I only live a couple miles from here, so it doesn't take me very long. But I got behind the line painting truck. You know, the truck that paints over the yellow lines, the yellow broken lines, and then the long white lines and everything like that. I got behind that truck over at the Knickerbocker, and I was stuck behind it for, you know, it takes me about like 4 or 5 minutes. I've got it timed pretty good to get here from my house, but I got stuck behind this truck for like 6 minutes or so, barely moving, you know. But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, and if you've ever been behind one of these things, are you not thinking, that's a pretty high-pressure gig that those folks have in that truck? Because they've got to get those lines perfectly. If they mess those lines up, man. And I was, there was the truck, then one white van, and then me. So I was only like two vehicles behind this truck. And I'm kind of panicking that he makes a mistake and I run on the yellow line or white line or whatever. So anyway, you don't want to get stuck behind one of those vehicles. But I will say that's, you mess that job up. you're going to be in for a world of hurt from your boss because everybody knows that you messed it up. 946-0435. Here's the cool story from the Olympics involving former Penn State athlete. His name is Steven Nedorozkic. He is a gymnast, and his specialty is the pommel horse. So the U.S. men's gymnastics team, they're competing. This is just a couple hours ago. And the final event was the pommel horse. And Steven Nedorozkic is a pommel horse specialist. He gets out there. He needed a pretty good score of 14.866 to secure a bronze medal for Team USA, and he nailed it. He ended up getting turning a very good performance. So the U.S. finished with the bronze in men's gymnastics. Now, what's important about that is it's their first medal since 2008. So I know some of us, you know, grew up with men's gymnastics being really cool and on TV a lot when we were younger. Mitch Gaylord, those kind of folks. And, you know, there was a time when men's gymnastics was really significant in this country. Not the case anymore. So anyway, their first medal since 2008, and it came down to this Penn State alum, Steven Nedorozkic, to secure things with the pommel horse. So they're all celebrating. They all knew what they needed. They all knew what he needed to get in the final pommel horse event, and he ends up securing that for the bronze medal. So a really cool moment that you can see the video on social media, everybody celebrating as he comes off. Because again, imagine, now look, if it's just an individual championship and you need this to win for yourself, you know, you're going to be celebrating, blah, blah. But everybody knew what he needed. You're doing it for your country. You're the last one out there. It's all on you, man. You want to talk about pressure, it's all on you. And you either get to be the hero or the goat, just like Wide World of Sports. The thrill of victory or the agony of the defeat. Agony of defeat with that dude crashing while he's coming downhill skiing on the mountain. So great for that Penn State product, Steven Nedorozkic. All right, I'm going to take a break real quick. We're going to talk some Pirates in a couple minutes. Buccos pulled off a trade today. It was a minor trade, not the kind of thing that's going to help the Pirates leap into wild card contention or anything like that. Should they? Should they make that kind of trade? We got about a day and a half or so. Should they pull the trigger and try to make that kind of deal? We'll let you know what they did after this.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
The ShoeFly tent sale is here. Don't miss the biggest sales event of the season. We've stomped down prices on athletic shoes, dress and casual shoes, sandals, work boots, and more for men, women, and kids. Save up to 70% on everything under the big white tents. And save $10 on shoes inside the store, too. Don't miss the ShoeFly tent sale July 22nd through August 3rd. Check it out at the ShoeFly in the Pleasant Valley Shopping Center, Altoona. ShoeFly.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort. Now, I know you're probably spelling comfort in your head and asking yourself, is that possible? Am I just a really bad speller? Look, I don't know your spelling aptitude, but Skechers most definitely put the S in comfort, because Skechers is the comfort technology company and has developed fits and features that change everything you know about comfort, like hands-free Skechers slip-ins, the ultimate in comfort and convenience. It's footwear you just step into and they're on, with no bending down. Find Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hank FM.
Oh. All righty, what do you want to see the Pirates do at the MLB trade deadline? Got another day or so. Would they make a move, a significant move, to really make it appear like they're going for it this year? Is that even feasible? Should they do that? Trade deadline is tomorrow at 6 o'clock, so we have 26 hours to go. All right, so the Pirates did make a trade today. They sent right-handed pitcher Quinn Priester to the Red Sox in exchange for minor league second baseman Nick York. So Priester was the number 18 pick in the 2019 draft. He has not worked out for the Pirates, not quite been able to get over the hump from the minor leagues to the big leagues, as we've seen with many, 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 many Pirates players over the years. York has yet to play in the major leagues. He is a second baseman. He spent this year between AA and AAA. He was the number 17 pick in the 2020 draft by the Red Sox. So Priester went 18th in the 2019 draft. York went 17th in the 2020 draft, so trading one first-rounder for another, trading a pitcher who has yet to really pan out and who there are questions about whether he can be a significant factor in the major leagues. For York, who's 22 years old, good player, good stick, good bat, but he's yet to play in the big leagues. And so to think you're going to get much help from this guy over the second half of this season to help you get into the playoffs, that's not really going to happen. He's going to report to AAA Indianapolis to start. We'll see. Maybe he maybe gets up to the Pirates before too long, and maybe he can help them in the future. But this is not the kind of move that if you're a Pirates fan, you can say, oh, well, he's going to be a big help for us this year and maybe help them get into the playoffs. That's not really the case. So, do you have any thoughts on that? Trey Quinn Priester was here a few years ago with the Altoona Curve. Again, first-round pick, good dude, likable guy. Not tremendous upside, apparently. Let's see, in his time with the Pirates, 5-9 record, 6.46 ERA in 20 appearances. Now, it's not like he's Tyler Glass now either, where they're going to trade him away and he's going to become a star somewhere else. I don't really think that's going to be the case. Priester just doesn't have dominant stuff. He's got good stuff. He could be a major leaguer. He could hang around the major leagues for a while. But he's not the kind of guy that you really think, you know, the Pirates are hoping he'd be like a number two, number three starter kind of guy. And that's not really what it appears like he's on track to be. So if you're a Pirates fan, we got till 6 o'clock tomorrow. What do you want to see them do? What do you think they'll do? I've made no secret of the fact that Bob Nutting is an incredibly cheapo owner. He's a gigantic cheapskate. I'll tell you a little story here. This is just the way things go. If you work for a company, you can't say anything overly critical about the boss, right? If you work for a sales company and you go out and you make public comments about the boss being a cheapskate, what's going to happen? You're going to get in a lot of trouble, and you're going to get fired. You know what? I covered the Altoona Curve for more than 20 years for the Altoona Mirror. I had a tremendous experience with the Altoona Mirror, worked with great people. Bob Nutting, most of you know this, Bob Nutting, who owns the Pirates, owns the Altoona Mirror and a lot of other newspapers. And I would say this. For the most part, they left us alone. They left our baseball coverage alone. Okay? I covered the Curve. It was kind of an understood thing that I could not gripe too much about the front office for the Pirates in terms of the ownership. Now, I would write or talk on the radio show for a lot of years about disdain for the baseball moves. I was given a lot of freedom, a lot of leeway to write about and discuss opinions about the baseball elements of the Pirates minor league system. And I had a lot of problems with it, as a lot of people have. They've made a lot of terrible, terrible, terrible decisions in the last 20 years with their minor leagues. But again, it was just kind of always an understood thing. When I was working for the Mirror, I couldn't get into Bob Nutting. I couldn't discuss Bob Nutting to really any large level of honesty, especially from a financial standpoint. We would get in trouble, and we weren't looking to get in trouble. You know, nobody at the Mirror was looking to get in trouble because Corey Geiger blasts Bob Nutting over his finances like they do in all the Pittsburgh media markets. Well, that was something that everybody just kind of understood. If you've listened to me on the air for a long time, you knew that I wasn't going to come down terribly hard on Bob Nutting. Well, I don't work for the Altoona Mirror anymore. So I can say full on, without hesitation, that Bob Nutting is a gigantic cheapskate. Okay? And this is something that everybody who has followed the Pirates for a long time knows, something that everybody who loves the Pirates knows, something that all the media in Pittsburgh who follow the Pirates, they all know it, fans know it. You know, Bob Nutting is a huge cheapskate. Okay. Having said that, does that mean that with a decent, mediocre team that Bob Nutting should go spend $20 or $30 million right now to take a shot at a playoff race over the next couple of months? See, I don't really think that's the case either. there is something to be said for prudence, for intelligent financial decisions. And so even though I can sit here on one hand and tell you that Bob Nutting is a giant cheapskate, I'm not going to rip every move that they make because he does have to be fiscally sound, and that's the case. It's a small market. They don't make tons of money. Now, if they spent a lot more money, I do think they'd make more money, but I've said this for years. It's easy to spend somebody else's money. It's easy for me to come on here and spend Bob Nutting's money. It's easy for you to spend Bob Nutting's money. It's easy for people to talk about what others should spend their money on. In this particular case right now, I just don't think the Pirates are good enough to really warrant them going out and trying to make some kind of giant splash move. They're one game over 500. They're 53-52. Okay? They're heading to Houston. They start a series tonight against the Astros. Paul Skenes pitches tonight. Paul Skenes is extremely impressive. Paul Skenes, unless something goes wrong, will be the shoe-in for the National League Rookie of the Year. Paul Skenes, if he continues to do crazy things, will have a shot at the Cy Young as a true rookie. I don't think he's going to win it, but he could at least have a shot if he keeps doing the things that he has been doing. Okay, but again, that doesn't necessarily mean that I think the Pirates should go out and spend a whole lot of money trying to chase something over the second half that I think is unrealistic. Here's the two ways to look at it. With Paul Skenes, and you got Mitch Keller as well, maybe Jared Jones is back. If you're the Pirates and you get into a short series in the playoffs, you've got a really, really good chance of winning that series. Now, does that mean the Pirates have a good chance to get to the World Series? No. Does that mean the Pirates have a good chance to win a wild card round? Yes. Could they, in another short series, conceivably win a divisional series and get to the National League Championship Series? Well, you know what? With Paul Skenes, if he throws you two phenomenal games and wins you two games, you only got to win two more. Okay. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Do the Pirates have anywhere near enough offense to make any of that stuff seem realistic? No. What would it take for the Pirates to go out and try to make trades that would be of significant impact and could drastically alter their hopes for the second half? I don't really believe it's feasible to make moves like that. Because what it would take, we have 26 hours until the trade deadline tomorrow at 6 o'clock, for the Pirates to truly be able to go out and make some kind of splash move, they would have to give up a ton. They would have to trade. Look, I'm not talking Henry Davis. I think Henry Davis is already one of the biggest busts in recent draft history. He's not going to amount to a whole lot. Who's going to want him? What kind of trade value does Henry Davis have? Okay, who has trade value for the Pirates? Well, Jared Jones, Paul Skenes, some of their great young players. Well, you're not trading those guys. That's the reason why you've got a lot of hope for the future. The Altoona Curve are absolutely horrid. It's one of the worst Curve teams ever. They've lost 8 of their last 9. They had a 15-game losing streak earlier this year. They're horrendous at AA. They don't have tremendous talent down in the lower minor leagues. So if you're the Pirates, you know, what do you have to trade in order to try to get the kind of piece or pieces that it would take? Vlad Guerrero Jr. You can't, what are the Pirates going to trade to get Vlad Guerrero Jr.? There's just not enough. Now, a lot of you might be out there like, but God, they got to do something. They've got to do something. At least try, right? Okay. This brings us back to the Tyler Glasnow, Chris Archer move. I remember being on the radio the day the Pirates traded Glasnow and got Archer. And I hated the move that day. And I said, this is a terrible trade. But a lot of Pirates fans who had already given up on Tyler Glasnow, they really liked the trade. I'll stop short of saying they loved the trade, but they really liked the trade because the Pirates did something, anything. There's this feeling among fans, and let me be brutally honest with you, you're idiots when you think this. There's a feeling among some idiot fans who believe you just got to try anything. Just try anything. You know what? Sometimes in life, doing nothing is the best thing. Okay? So the day they traded Tyler Glasnow for Chris Archer, I hated the move then. It obviously blew up on him. It was a horrendous move. Well, how did I get that right? Well, I'd seen Tyler Glasnow in AA for the Altoona Curve. I was one of the few people in the media that had seen Tyler Glasnow perform at an extremely high level. Because when he got to the Pirates, he wasn't performing at a really high level the first year. The second year, he was doing better out of the bullpen, but they'd given up on him at that time. But I remember a number of years ago, this is a terrible move. Some Pirates fans loved it because the Pirates just did anything. Just try anything. Throw caution to the wind and do anything in the world just to try something. No, that's not how you operate a business. All right, we'll take some of your phone calls after the break. 946-0435.
Westwood One Sports presents this special update on the 2024 Summer Games. The U.S. men's basketball team is loaded again, but just for a moment today against Serbia, it might have had flashbacks to its opener in Tokyo 3 years ago when it lost to France. Steve Futterman has more.
The U.S. had a bit of a struggle in the first half. In fact, with less than 2 minutes to go in the first half, the U.S. led Serbia by only 2 points, but by the end of the first half, the Americans had taken control. The U.S. eventually wins the game 110-84. Kevin Durant leads the U.S. with 23 points.
Team USA continues group play Wednesday against South Sudan, which beat Puerto Rico 90-79 for its first Olympic win. The U.S. earns two more gold medals on day two. Tori Husk in the pool in the women's 100 fly, and Lee Kiefer goes back-to-back in fencing in the women's foil. Team USA atop the medal table with 12 total. France has 8. With this summer games update, I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everyone. Broadcaster and ER physician Dr. Jerry Punch here. We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of sounds that you might hear. You could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, you could do damage that's beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing nothing like a Boswell pipe.
We got our phone lines open if you want to join us. 946-0435. Been kind of a slow day on a Monday. It is hot out there. We're in a weird time right now. We got the Olympics going on, but other than that, only Major League Baseball. But we've got NFL training camps, by the way, tomorrow, the second edition of this season of our Black and Gold Breakdown. We'll be here from 5 to 6 tomorrow with Kreider and Bortner and myself with the Black and Gold Breakdown right here on 96.1 Hank FM. We had a good time on the season debut show last week. So coming up tomorrow, we'll break down some of the other stuff in training camp. A lot of good Russell Wilson discussion. He had the calf injury, and you know, how much will we be able to count on him to be able to stay fully healthy at 35 years old. It'll be very interesting to see how all of that stuff plays out. Today's show brought to you, as it is every day, by J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. No matter where you're heading, to a game, camping, hunting, fishing, head on over to J.M. Boswell's. They'll hook you up with a great cigar, a pipe, great tobacco blends. They're at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. All right, so I've talked a little bit about how I want to spend some time on the Olympics as much as we can anyway. So how much of the Olympics are you watching? 946-0435. How much of the Olympics are you watching? Very simple question. Maybe it's a lot. Maybe it's not. I have clicked over occasionally, keeping up with the highlights, obviously. Men's basketball beating Serbia. Kevin Durant with a big game. The huge gymnastics thing from today with the men getting a bronze in the team competition with the Penn State alum, Steven Nedorozkic, wrapping that up with a terrific performance on the palm horse. Other than that, I can't necessarily say I've spent a lot of time watching the Olympics. Now, I will go down this path since I'm bringing this up. The whole opening ceremonies deal with the Last Supper kind of performance that they put on. I'm not going to go too deep into all this. But what the heck are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you doing? Who signed off on that? Who are the morons that signed off on that? And, I mean, I've seen, whether or not this is, you know, actually remain true, I've seen many, many, many people on social media, I'm not going to watch any of the Olympics. They already offended me. I'm not going to watch, not going to watch, not going to watch, not going to watch. So offended, blah, blah, blah. Now, look, people are offended by everything in this world. But if you're going to put on some kind of weird, woke performance, which many people have deemed mocking the Last Supper, what are you doing? What are you thinking? How on earth does something like that get through the whoever the hell is in charge of your event? Now, I'm not tremendously religious. I'm not really offended by a lot of necessary things that a lot of other people are. Depending on your denomination, your faith, whatever, you might be offended by a lot of different things. I'm not really offended. I'm offended by the stupidity, honestly. I'm offended by the ignorance of people that would could possibly think that, one, that would either be a good idea, or two, that you're not just going to piss off everybody by doing it. We got, now we got people calling in on that. Caller number two, what's up, dude?
It's Poopy Face.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Hey, well, you push my button. These people, you know, just live your life and don't rub our faith in our faces. Just go live your life. If you want to be a drag queen and it's with adults, do it. If you want to do a parody on something in your own space, but to put that on the national, on the world stage is so childish and offended a good portion of the world, because a lot of the world is faith-based.
You're
believe it or not.
You, I'll give you credit. You are a much more rational and calm person than I am. You typically, in all these years that you called, you don't criticize a whole lot of people or things, but this was just so stupid. How could they possibly think that putting drag queens up there in what people, look, they're claiming they weren't trying to do, and you can see all kinds of excuses out there, but perception is reality. If 2 billion people are offended by something, then the reality is you effed up.
Well, they wanted to offend. The more press they get, they love any kind of press. Like I said, when adults do with their own time, but this shoving it in our faces is just—it's getting out of hand. There's a small percentage of people that are kind of ruling things, and it's scary. Most people are moderate. And just want to live their lives.
Isn't that interesting? We're not going to go down too far down this rabbit hole here, but that is true. I do tend to believe we can talk far right, far left, all this stuff. I do tend to believe the mass live within like a 10% area of the middle. But yet the way our world works, politics, sports, religion, everything in between, it's like, Let's be as crazy as we can on the outskirts, and that's what's going to create a lot of attention, while the other 80% of us just want life to continue as normal.
Yeah, you called it, Corey. I think you're on the same page with me. It was very irritating and not necessary, but I don't think it's going to stop because it sure got a lot of press.
Yeah, and we all know bad publicity is good publicity to a lot of people.
Hey, and another thing, I do watch a lot of the Olympics because I know how hard these people try. But I watch quite a bit of the gymnastics. These people are unbelievable athletes. I can't imagine, because they can't make any kind of mistake. You know, if they hop or something, they lose a point. It's perfection or bust. It's crazy.
We had a great tennis discussion the other day. I hate to see that Nadal is not playing very well. Djokovic did beat Nadal very easily, 6-1, 6-4. Djokovic won 10 of the first 11 games against Nadal before it was at least somewhat competitive in the second set. And maybe Nadal can get back, but he's 38 years old. This might be the last time they ever met. And if that's the case, as somebody, you appreciate tennis, as we discussed last week, I appreciate tennis. We might have just seen, in terms of a competitive match, the last of one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports history.
Yeah, and those moments come, and it's sad. Yeah, that's very sad, but he's been a great athlete, and he's always been classy, so he'll survive.
And they'll probably meet in, like, senior tours or whatever things are going on, like international friendlies and everything like that. I'm guessing people will still do that kind of thing. But it's never going to be Rafa Nadal at 27 years old playing every single point like all of humanity depended on it.
Yeah, going the limit. They'll play pickleball in about 5 years.
That's right. They'll be the pickleball world champions. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man. 946-0435. Clark, sir, what do you make of that Olympics opening ceremony?
Wait. Is this going to be a daily thing now with this tennis stuff?
Hey, I made it 34 minutes on the show without a call. I'm going to talk about any damn thing.
I just thought I'd throw that in for levity. I didn't see it. I haven't watched any of it. of the Olympics. I see the results. The problem is we get all hepped up about the U.S. and medals and everything,
mm-hmm.
but how much money do we throw into this stuff? Remember you getting solicited, you know, to throw money in and stuff? I mean, what are these other countries doing?
It's interesting. We can go a lot of different directions with this.
It's just like the NCAA.
Well, if you read,
we're moving towards.
If you read stories about these cities that have hosted the Olympics, these are financial disasters for these places. And CNN had a story the other day. I've read all kinds of stories over the last 5 years. Nobody wants to host the Olympics anymore because they cost so much money. It does terrible things to your infrastructure in your city for years and years and years to come. You've got all these coliseums and arenas and everything that are built and then never used again. These are financial disasters for a lot of these places.
Well,
and I don't know why that's the case.
Well, you put the Olympics where the triathlon, they can't swim in the Seine.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Can't even get in the river because it's toxic.
Yeah, it's like going down here to Philadelphia and swimming in the Schuylkill River.
I read in 84 when they were in Los Angeles that, or was it 88? One of those, which I think was 84, 88, I think. But LA already had all the arenas and places built for the competition. So you could just go. If you don't have all of the structures built for all these competitions, then what do you got to do? You got to go build them. And these all cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And so these cities that take on the Olympics, sure, you get the notoriety and everything, but I think you make life hell. I think you make life hell, not only from a logistics standpoint, but financially overall for the citizens who live there over time.
Well, the citizens in Boston, back in the late teens, they had put up the idea of them hosting the Olympics. And most of the people up there voted no. They
yeah,
didn't
right.
want to have the Olympics. Yeah. You know. But I'm also talking about the amount of money that we put in to our athletes compared to some of these, you know, African countries and different things. And I mean, how do you only beat what, South Sudan, you know, in basketball? In an exhibition game?
I think if they played them again, it'd be a 25-point game.
Good thing we didn't play North Sudan.
Your point is this. It is interesting. Okay, so let's kind of take a step back. We do know how much sports mean to everybody in this country. When you're 4 years old, 5 years old, you're playing soccer, you're playing
sure.
Little League Baseball, you're playing football.
Sure.
But we don't get a lot of notoriety in this country for a lot of athletes that play a lot of the Olympic sports. You heard me rant last week, Michael Phelps being ranked the number one athlete of the 21st. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ludicrous. Well, you know, it's because swimming is just nowhere near the kind of mainstream. We hear about swimming once every 4 years. But
yeah.
While we hear about LeBron literally every single day, but the rest of these countries around the world, they, while we're putting all of our money into these, you know, four main sports that we play, a lot of these other countries, they have kids at 4 and 5 and 6 years old that go off to academies and live there and swim 8 hours a day for 13 years or whatever, or run track and field or play golf in South Korea or whatever. These other countries, they take it differently with some of these minor sports.
Yes, they do. And my point with athletics is if you can get an education out of it, you're so far ahead of the game, and it's what it comes down to. Anything after that is, you know, icing on the cake and stuff.
Yeah, but now you look at our football and you look at what we, you know, how much money we're going to be paying these people on top of getting their education. And at what point are they getting too much? We used to always talk about, hey, they're not getting enough. When are we going to be talking, Clarkson, that these football players are getting too much?
Oh, my God. Some of the contracts the NFL has given out is outrageous.
I'm talking about in college. How long is it going to be before we revolt and go the other way and we think, why are all these players making $500,000 a year?
Well, wait, how many teams, okay, they get not only what they're getting, there are 35 women's basketball teams are going over to Europe for these 1 week to 10 day excursions to play over there. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the average student might be working during the summer to get his education.
Yeah, sure.
Putting things in perspective, how many men's teams are going over somewhere? And then they're complaining that they can only go once every 4 years. They're being handed an education. You basically have to screw it up to not get your degree, or you have to leave early in a lot of cases.
Yep.
But they're given stuff on a silver plate. They've been handed that stuff back in high school. Look at the number of high schools that they've been to, or the special schools, high schools that they get to go to because they're identified as a player and stuff. It's just amazing on how we, transition things in this country.
While teachers make $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Just thought I'd get that little thing in there that, my goodness, is there anybody more underpaid than teachers? Thomas in Gallitzin, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to talk quickly. I've been watching the Olympics. I love watching the Olympics. I think it's the first year we're streaming them, isn't it?
That's a good point. I would think so. Were we doing that in 2020?
I'm not sure, but I love watching them on my phone,
okay,
on the TV, any chance I get. And I just want to mention, a lot of people get offended and this and that, but I just hate to see everyone take it out on our Team USA. I feel like we should still support them.
I think that's a good point. Yeah, they didn't do that stuff, but I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that point. Yeah.
I haven't seen backlash toward the American athletes over there. Nothing like that. I haven't seen or heard anything like that. But if people are going to get so offended by the opening ceremonies that they don't watch any of it, that in and of itself would kind of be turning your back on the American athletes.
Right.
Very good, pal. Appreciate it, man. Thanks. Take a break. Take some more calls after this.
Corey LaJoy and Spire Motorsports are parting ways at the end of the season, with the team saying, quote, "Corey LaJoy has been a cornerstone of Spire Motorsports since 2021, and it would be impossible to overstate what he's meant to this organization and how much I've agonized over the decision. In racing, there's always variables, but one thing we all know, it's a performance-based business. And it just hasn't been there for several reasons." Spire also said they will announce the new driver of the team's number 7 Chevrolet in due course. There's been a shakeup at Legacy Motor Club in terms of their number 84 Cup Series car that team owner Jimmy Johnson has been driving part-time this season. Veteran NASCAR crew chief Jason Burdette, who last December was tapped to work with the team with the 7-time Cup Series champion, is no longer with the organization, coupled with some other personnel changes. But it's not supposed to impact the team's entry status, as Johnson will still return to the NASCAR Cup Series for events this fall at Kansas, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. Elsewhere, the organization also fields 2 other Cup Series entries for John Hunter Nemechek and Eric Jones, who are not having the season that they were hoping for, currently sitting 27th and 31st in points. Keep in mind here at the Olympic break, Kyle Larson leads the NASCAR Cup Series point standings by 10 over Chase Elliott. He's got 4 wins in his back pocket, the most of any other driver. Plus, he's missed a full race in points. You're on the final lap.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
You don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Hey, I got a question for you. You hate bending over to put on your shoes? Wish you could just put them on standing or sitting without ever having to touch them? If so, then I have the shoe for you. Introducing new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. With new Skechers Slip-ins, you just step in and off you go. You don't even need to lace up. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? Well, there's a special smooth comfort pillow in the heel that helps your foot slide right into place. So just step in them and go. Find new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins for the whole family at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at J&P Auto Mart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. J&P Auto Mart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? J&P will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. J&P Auto Mart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
All right, we got our phone lines open. If you want to join us down the stretch, 946-0435. We were talking some Olympics during the last segment. Did those opening ceremonies offend you? And again, I'm not getting too deep into the politics or religion or whatever. I just can't understand the ignorance level that it would take to think that you could pull something like that off and it wouldn't be highly controversial. However, I think it was caller number two pointed out just a few minutes ago. Maybe that was their goal all along. Let's be as offensive as possible. Let's put drag queens out there celebrating and reenacting the Last Supper. Let's offend everybody. Are we to that stage in life where trying to navigate the narrow path of not offending anybody will just give way to hell. I'm just going to offend everybody. And I don't care what you think. You want to cancel me out? Whatever. Because that's, you know, that's what some people tried to do with the Olympics after watching all that stuff. It's like, oh, let's cancel culture. Let's cancel the Olympics. Well, the Olympics are still going on. People are still going to watch. But maybe our caller was right. Maybe they knew all along how much of a circus it was going to cause, and they're like, okay, well, let's do it anyway, because this is the best way for us to get the most attention. Let's just offend everybody. I say it all the time. I'm just not really somebody that's offended by very much. I'm not just egregiously religious in any way. I'm not egregiously political in any way. I'm not a gigantic fan of a team or a player to where I'm just going to get offended defending that team or player. I like to think, as we were discussing earlier, I like to think I'm kind of down the middle in a lot of ways, which is interesting to me because I know who I am. I'm very self-aware of who I am as a person and the way my mind works. It has always been comical to me, especially among the Penn State fans. Some Penn State fans are like, Geiger, you hate Penn State. And it literally couldn't be further from the truth. You don't think when I was covering Penn State, I want them to go to the Rose Bowl? You don't think I want them to compete for a national championship? Because that means I get to do cool stuff. I've been to 3 Rose Bowls. It's pretty awesome. It's awesome going to the Rose Bowl. You don't think I want to go to the Rose Bowl? God, you hate Penn State. You want to see them lose. You're an idiot if you think that. But really, this has been one of the more comical things of my whole career. I do criticize Pitt a good bit. There was a long time as a Syracuse basketball fan, the one team I did hate, and I fully admitted it for a long time, was Pitt basketball. I thought Pitt basketball was kind of embarrassing from this perspective. They were really good during the regular season for a long time. One of the top 10, 15 teams in the country for a long time. Would lay an egg in the NCAA tournament and then didn't really seem to care a whole lot. Like, the NCAA tournament wasn't a gigantic deal to a lot of Penn State Pitt fans, so they rested their case on how good they were during the regular season, and that to me was laughable. Because as a college basketball fan, I've always felt what matters the most is the NCAA tournament. As a Syracuse fan, whatever season you have, you've got to prove it in the NCAA tournament. You get to the Sweet 16, that's a good deal. You get to the Elite Eight or the Final Four, that's a memorable, great accomplishment. Pitt basketball, they always seem to be fine with losing in the first or second round of the tournament as like a number 3 seed. Never made any sense to me. Okay, but besides that, I don't have anything against Pitt football. I don't have anything against Pat Narduzzi. I don't have anything against the Pitt football program. I think that financially they don't come close to being what Penn State is. But from a competitive standpoint, Pitt could beat Penn State in any given year. But what's comical to me, and I've gotten this for years and years and years and years and years. Listen to what I'm telling you. So there are a lot of Penn State fans out there who wrongly believe that I don't like Penn State and I root against Penn State. But you know what? There are a lot of Pitt fans out there that think I'm a Penn State homer. Now that to me is as comical as it gets. And that to me is proof I'm doing my job. If you don't know who I'm rooting for or against, or you think I'm rooting for or against, all I'm doing is writing and reporting the truth and honesty as I see it, all right? But there, for a lot of years, there have been a whole bunch of Pitt fans. I'll criticize Pitt, rightfully so, for various things. Pat Narduzzi making stupid decisions in games, like trying to kick a field goal on 4th and goal at the 1 when you're down 7. Lunacy. One of the biggest dumbass decisions I've ever seen. And that coach actually tries to defend himself. He will never admit that it was a dumbass decision. But then when I criticize Pitt, I've got Pitt fans calling me a Penn State homer. While on the other side, I've got all these Penn State fans saying, Geiger, you hate Penn State, blah, blah, blah. It's hilarious to me. Because, everything is in the eye of you, the beholder. Whatever you want to believe, if you want to believe the earth is flat, then you do you, boo. Go have a party with Kyrie Irving and talk about how idiotic you are, but you have the right to believe the earth is flat. If you want to believe that the earth, I heard something on the radio, like today or yesterday, like a number of people in this world that still believe that the earth, that the sun travels around the earth and not vice versa, that the earth is the center of our solar system. And the sun still gathered. We believed this 600 years ago. And apparently, I guess, there's still a lot of people that believe that. But you know what? Here's the thing. Whatever you want to believe, you can. We live in a country where if you want to believe the earth is flat, you can be an idiot, but you have that right. If you want to believe we did not land on the moon and the whole thing was fake, hey, you can believe it. You want to believe that the earth is the center of our solar system? You're a fool, but you can go right on ahead believing that stuff. It's the beauty of where we live, man. I don't know where I was going with any of that stuff, but all right, that's going to wrap things up for me. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.